The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter. Jesus offers practical advice to his disciples on how individuals and the church as a whole should show wrongdoers their need for repentance. I begin reading at verse 15. If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If that member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Nobody likes conflict, or I should say very few people like conflict anyway. For most of us, it gets us upset. I know for me, a lot of times if I'm in the midst of conflict, my stomach is churning and I may even lose a couple of nights of sleep. Nobody likes conflict, but it's inevitable. It's going to happen. When more than one person is together, if two or more together, conflict is bound to happen in one form or the other. We each are different people. We have been raised differently. We have different thoughts. We have different ideas. We have different education. We have different backgrounds. We are male. We are female. We all look at things in a different way. And because we do, there's a lot of variety in the world and there's a lot of richness in this world. But there's also conflict. Conflict comes about when two people get together a lot of times, or two or more come together. And so conflict's bound to happen, even though we don't like it. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus gives us a very practical way of dealing with conflict. When we have disagreements or arguments or just can't see eye to eye with one another, there's some very good practical advice here in our gospel lesson for today. And it's broken down in several different steps or stages. The first step is to simply go and talk to the person with whom you have a conflict. Sounds easy enough, doesn't it? But that's not really what we do, is it? What we do is we go complain to other people about the person we've got an argument with. We talk about them at home, or we talk about them at work. We talk about them at the coffee shop. We talk about them at the hairdresser or the barber shop. We talk to everybody except the person that we have a conflict with. But Jesus says, go first to that person in private and talk to them. And that's very sound advice. And many times, this will solve the issue. Because a lot of times when there is a conflict between two people, it's simply a misunderstanding. You might have said some things that came out wrong. Or maybe that person listening to you heard things in a different way in which you intended. And there's just simple misunderstanding that whatever caused the conflict really isn't even there. It just came out wrong. Or sometimes there is a bit of a conflict that you see things in different ways. But as you talk to one another, you can start to see their point of view. They can start to see your point of view. And even if you don't come to an agreement, you can still learn to respect each other. You can agree to disagree and still respect that person and still have a good, healthy relationship with that person. Just simply go to that person and talk it out. Many times, that's all it takes. And when that happens, your relationship is restored once again. However, sometimes that doesn't happen. Sometimes there is still a disagreement. Sometimes there's there's still animosity, there's still conflict going on. And so Jesus realizes this too, and he says there's a next step or a next phase to go into. He says, this time, bring one or two witnesses along with you as you go talk to that person. Now notice it says witnesses here. It doesn't say bring your buddies along. It doesn't say bring those people who are going to be on your side. It doesn't say stack the deck in the midst of this conflict. It says witnesses. Witnesses in this case doesn't necessarily mean they're actually going to take part in the conversation. They're simply there to make sure both parties stay honest, because you know somebody else is listening in on this conversation. You can't come back later and says, no, that's not what I said. No, that's not what he said. They're witnesses. They help to keep that conversation honest. Also, maybe a different way of looking at these witnesses then too is maybe somebody to help along in the conversation. For instance, maybe if your conflict is within your family, maybe there's a respected family member who can be one of those witnesses and can kind of referee in the midst of this fight. Or maybe if it's among friends, if your conflict's among friends, maybe a respected friend that you're friends with and that also that other person is friends with, and you can kind of keep it on a more friendly level at this point. Or maybe even sometimes it may take an outsider to be a witness, somebody who you don't really have a personal relationship with, such as maybe a counselor. Many times, especially within families, you need somebody from the outside to look in to see maybe what the problem is. Counselors are trained people who can see things that are maybe going on within your family. And that counselor can help lead you through to a resolution of the conflict that's going on. Or maybe even a mediator if it's between friends or businesses or different things then too. But to bring those witnesses, and the witnesses are unbiased people who come in to keep the conversation honest. And when that honesty is present then, many times, we see that we don't have to always win. That there is a better way, and that relationship is once again restored. However, once again, sometimes that doesn't work, and Jesus realizes this too. So he goes on to another stage or another step then. And this one is where it kind of shifts a little bit. Up until this point, all of this has been basically private. Only a few people have known about the conflict that's going on. It's not spread all over town. It's not spread all over the community. It's just within those few parties that are in conflict, and maybe whoever the witnesses are aware of that. At this point, it does shift, because then it says, Jesus says, bring it to the church. Also, something else here about this shift is that the first two stages is good for anybody. That's good advice for anybody, for any kind of conflict that's going on, is to settle it simply between the two conflicted parties. If it is a matter for the church, then bring it to the church. If it's a matter between just maybe friends or somebody else, there's other ways to deal with that, maybe with mediators or even the civil court system. But here we start to shift into matters of the church. Matthew here, or Jesus says, bring it to the church. Bring it to the church members. When that happens then, many more people get involved. And bring it to the church may mean an appropriate group within the church. For instance, if it's a matter of worship, maybe it needs to just be brought to the worship committee so the worship committee can maybe look at different things within that. Maybe it does need to go to the council. Maybe it does need, if it's big enough, to go to the whole congregation. Or maybe it even needs to go to the whole church body to make the decisions. As we look at it within the church, as we look at the conflict within the church, there's a number of different things that also go into that. We look at policy statements. We look at maybe the Constitution or bylaws. We enter into prayer. We check out Scripture. We study Scripture and see what the significance is of that. And there may even be theological implications coming out of this conflict. And so we study the issue. We get many people involved because that way we get many different ideas, many different thoughts, many different ways of looking at this conflict and coming to a resolution then. And sometimes many good things come out of that. That maybe our policies do need to change because they're outdated. Maybe we find a new way of doing things that's more lively and more meaningful to us. So conflict's not always bad. It's how we deal with that. Like I said, sometimes many good things come out of that. Relationships are restored, and we're even healthier than before the whole process began. However, sometimes it's still not resolved. And then Jesus says, take it to the next stage. And he says, if it's not resolved at this point, then treat them as Gentiles or tax collectors. Now, before we start booting people out of the church, there's a couple of things to think about here. What's it mean to be a Gentile or a tax collector? Jesus is speaking mainly to a Jewish crowd here. So we need to look at that context of what they were seeing as when Jesus says, treat them as a Gentile. A Gentile then was someone who was considered unclean or outside of the community. Someone who was not a part of them. We are to treat the person that we're in conflict with as an outsider, in other words. Our tax collector. Tax collector in that day and time is a little bit different than it is today. Tax collectors were assigned by the Roman government. Okay, in this area, you need to collect this many taxes for the government. And it was up to the tax collector to figure out how to do that. He could go and tax just one person and collect all the money from that one person. He could spread it out amongst everybody else. He could double the taxes, pay the Roman government what they required, put the rest of it in his pocket. And so tax collectors were considered scoundrels or thieves. They were also considered traitors because they were helping the oppressive Roman government at the time. So treat them as Gentiles and tax collectors. That sounds pretty severe. Treat them as outsiders and scoundrels. But once again, before we start kicking people out of the church, look at it in a little bit different context. How did Jesus treat Gentiles and tax collectors? Well, just recently we read a story, or this summer we read the story of Jesus healing the child of a Gentile woman. In another story, Jesus goes and talks to and visits with a Gentile woman at the well. Jesus does ministry up in Tyre and Sidon, which is predominantly Gentile territory. And the stories go on. Or how about tax collectors? Zacchaeus, if you remember the story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. And Jesus says, come down from that tree. I'm going to your house today. He called Matthew as one of his own disciples. Matthew, too, was a tax collector. In other stories, Jesus sits down and eats with tax collectors and other sinners. So what's that say as to how we are to treat people as Gentiles or tax collectors? There's one other thing to look at here as we're considering this, is the context of where this gospel story is taking place. The story right before this one is the story of the shepherd that has 100 sheep and one goes off somewhere else. And the shepherd leaves the 99 and goes in search for that one lost sheep. The story right after this, what we read today, is Peter asked Jesus, how many times should I forgive my neighbors? Many as 7 times. And Jesus replies, no, 7 times 77 times. The sense in all of this is that the relationship in which is being conflicted, every effort should be made to restore that relationship back together again. And so what's it mean for us when we talk about treat that one as a Gentile or a tax collector? In church talk, what we're talking about is excommunication. What's it mean to be excommunicated from the church? And basically what that means is that you can no longer have the responsibilities of the congregation, the rights and responsibilities of the congregation, which means that you cannot hold an office such as a council member. You cannot be in a position of leadership. It also means that you are not to participate in the sacraments until that time when the conflict is restored, the conflict is settled, when repentance and forgiveness takes place. But it doesn't mean that they are kicked out of the church. They are still welcome in worship. They are still welcome to participate in the worship of God with the rest of the community. And as we look at this context and where all this plays together, it's also telling us that every effort should be made to restore that relationship with that person, to continue to minister to them, not to shut them out, not to kick them out, not to throw them out in any way of that sort. The effort is there to minister to that person. Nobody likes conflict, and that includes God too. God does not like conflict either. However, we give God conflict. Each and every one of us give God conflict each and every day. Every time we sin, we're going against God. We're causing conflict in God. God knows that. And he doesn't, like I said, he doesn't like conflict. And so what God has done, as he has sent his son into this world to restore our relationship back with him. He's done everything possible to make that relationship right with himself. Again, Jesus came into the world, and what happened? Conflict. All throughout Jesus' ministry, the scribes, the Pharisees were trying to trap him. Jesus eventually then did go to Jerusalem, and he had to suffer much pain, much torment, and he went to the cross, and he died. But because Jesus dealt with the conflict here on this earth, he also rose from the dead and restored our relationship back to God. Because of the midst of the conflict, the greatest event has ever happened. The world has been saved through Jesus Christ. And because of that then too, like I said, nobody likes conflict. But it is going to happen in our lives. It's what we do with it. And even in the midst of conflict, good things can happen. Changes, necessary changes, can be made to make life better. Relationships can be restored. Forgiveness can take place. Go first to your neighbor. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.